hour number three now with Karen Stewart. An extraordinary story. We're not near the end yet. We're going to keep walking down this path. You're doing a marvelous job explaining something that has taken years of your life. And I just wonder, rhetorically out there for all of you, think about this. How hard do you imagine it would be if you were an adversary government to this country to send in a honey trap under any circumstance you could imagine to compromise somebody in the NSA or the CIA or the DIA or any other intel agency? How hard would it be to compromise human beings using good-looking or even just available honey traps? This is obviously easy pickings, Karen. Easy.
Oh, it was, and I think that's why they went out to destroy me, because nothing else makes any sense. And it worries me, because weapons in space has some of the most sensitive secrets in the entire government.
I would think, and therefore on the planet.
Yes.
So this is the point. You've got secrets that are invaluable. It reminds me of the Clintons and Loral and their capers with our top secret computer software and our supercomputers we sold to the Chinese, or the Clintons sold to the Chinese. But it's just not a problem to successfully spy on people. With all the electronic surveillance technologies, all the IT stuff, and the oldest game in the book, warm human flesh. I mean, this is just silly. Silly. So, yeah, I guess the old saying is there are no secrets. Maybe more true than we think.
Oh, yes, I think so. And like you said, human nature is human nature.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, how illuminating, how enlightening this all is for everyone. Go ahead, please. This is good.
Well, I will add right here that I did fax a letter to the House Subcommittee on intelligence oversight, and I essentially told them my story, and I said, you need to go in and take every single NSA security manager and polygraph them, and if they refuse to take a polygraph, you need to keep them in jail until they do. I said, because it looks to me like NSA is severely compromised by people who have no interest in our safety. And
exactly.
I heard nothing. I faxed them that twice, and I've heard nothing.
Now, you know why? Because they're just as dirty as the NSA is. If they start investigating NSA, NSA will tell them, you mess with us, you're in big trouble.
It could be, because I can remember people, well, basically a conversation in the lunchroom where somebody told me that NSA has a mole in every critical congressman and senator's office to tell them what the person is doing and thinking and if it affects NSA in any way.
I have no doubt in my mind. Everything is compromised. Every major media outlet. Half the people you see on TV or read about in the newspapers are connected directly or indirectly to one or more of these agencies. This is all crazy, and I really don't think there are many secrets anymore.
Oh, that's very possible. That is very possible. And who's looking out for us? I don't know.
Oh, people like you are brave enough to go on a program like this. They almost succeeded in killing me a year and a half ago, and it wasn't my time. I got real lucky. So, yeah, they kill people. That's the other thing I always say. They kill people. With no hesitation. They have no problem. You're very lucky that they didn't do that to you. And I don't think after this program they're going to. But they easily, they got wet ops. No problem. Just take somebody out.
Well, I was told by Russell Tice, and you'll recognize that name. He said, Karen, if you do things like scuba diving, don't do them anymore because they will arrange an accident.
Oh, sure. What we think happened to me is they used an electronic beam and just hit me in the head and knocked me out, put me to sleep at 60 miles an hour when I'm driving home. Very simple to do. They've got the technology. They've had it for decades. So killing someone is not the problem. I guess making the decision to do it is probably as much or more difficult than it is actually carrying out the operation?
You know, I think that decision gets more and more easy because the technology is basically getting to the point that nobody knows it exists. And if you try to tell them, they look at you like you have three heads or you're from Mars.
Right.
And even when you point out different articles to them, they don't want to take a look at it. I think that the normalcy bias in people wants to deny that we are in danger.
We're also dealing with a civilian populace that lives and is grounded in, I don't want to get involved, which translated means fear. They live fear-based. People do. They're always on the edge. People are in terrible debt. They've got problems. They just, who wants to take it on? Anything else? Not many. So I really admire you for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. I can only do this. I mean, I can't sit and be quiet about it.
You know, it's a shame because the NSA had obviously in you a superior employee, and they blew it. They just blew it.
Well, I will tell you, there's somebody I was totally shocked that got fired, and he was a gentleman who tried and tried and tried to send out reports warning about 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And they told him to shut up or he would be fired. And he was a linguist who knew 12 to 14 different languages and dialects, and you do not find that.
No. It sounds like a real gifted man. Look, I think more people knew about 9/11 than got killed on 9/11 in the government.
That's very possible. I was horrified to learn that that had transpired, that basically people were told to be quiet and not report warnings.
Yeah. No, it was ultimately, from what I've been able to gather, not the best-kept secret in the world, but it didn't stop it from happening, that's for damn sure. And look what they got out of it. Look what they kill 2,700 people. Call it 3,000 if you want. And look what they, the government, the controllers, the corporatocracy, the international elite, the globalists, look what they got out of it for killing 3,000 people. And you say, well, that's a lot of people. Well, then let me remind you that every year on America's highways and roads, 45,000 people are killed and 2 to 3 million injured. It's like a massive war. No one says anything about that. So, yeah, it was a real cheap buy-in for them to kill 3,000 people, take down a couple of buildings that were already condemned, give the owner double indemnity on the buildings. I guess he got $4 billion or I can't remember how much he got. Anyway, go ahead. Let's get back to your story. It's amazing.
All right. Well, we're heading into the fall of 2009. And at that point in time, the EEOC activity was ramping up. And the judge had accepted my lawsuit. And he told NSA, until the lawsuit is heard, until there's a hearing, take no adverse action against her. Basically, he was saying, keep me on administrative leave. They didn't have to let me get back in the building, but they were not to fire me.
Right.
So come October, they fired me. So they had what I call a kangaroo court to appeal my being fired. And I tried to see if I could get a lawyer to come to the court to
the NSA court.
The NSA, I call it the kangaroo
court.
Yeah,
okay.
And so they said, no lawyers are allowed. I said, really? And they said, well, you can bring someone else. And I said, well, who else would I bring but a lawyer? I said, can they basically call in? Can there be like a video conference? No, that's not allowed. Lawyers are not allowed at these types of hearings. Well, you don't want somebody to actually be able to defend themselves.
No,
apparently.
No, God no.
Uh-uh. So, and a few months before that, because they were attacking me with false psychological evaluations that actually went opposite to all of my real tests through the years, I had hired a independent psychologist to run an evaluation on me. And when he heard they were not going to allow me to have a lawyer, he said, "Karen, I want to come." I said, really? He said, yes, I want to come. And so he said, you know, I'm a senior psychologist. I'm in demand for lawsuits all over Maryland. He said, I have a stature. And so he wanted to come. And I said, well, be my guest. We'll clear it with them. And they said, fine. So he came and he presented all the facts. He said, I've evaluated her thoroughly. There is nothing wrong with this woman except the fact that I've been treating her for anxiety. And he said, frankly, she has reason to be anxious, to be falsely accused, persecuted, and threatened with being fired 2 years before she had her full 30 years to retire. And so he said, I have no problem with this woman having a top secret clearance. In fact, I'm rather happy to see somebody of her stature or of her character have it. He said, and I hope that you will realize there is no evidence showing that there's anything wrong with her, and all the evidence, all the preponderance of evidence, shows that there's nothing wrong with her except for being mistreated by NSA security. And so, you know, he presented his evaluation, and I answered a few questions, and then they said, okay, now the NSA Psych Services Security doctor will speak. And so we said, okay, and we'll just step aside. And they said, no, you have to leave. So really, we don't get to hear what she has to say after she sat there and listened to what we had to say.
Is this America or is this the Soviet Union?
Exactly. So we were forced to leave. And I got news later, about a week later, that said, you're fired. And I went to the psychologist and I told him, and I actually ended up consoling him.
Wow.
He was absolutely shocked. He was flabbergasted and shocked.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's how that went down. And then end of October 2009, I was fired. And they sent me a termination package. Now, this keeps going into how much damage they're trying to do. They sent me a termination package saying, because you did not fulfill your first 30, your entire 30 years, you can apply in 8 years for a deferred retirement that's been reduced. And at that point, I was a GS-12. I should have been a GS-14. So that was quite significant.
Yeah.
And I knew that there was something in the CSRS, which is the old retirement, that was called, I just lost the word for it. But it's a retirement that you get when your job goes away. And they have no reason to retrain you, because by the time they retrain you, you're already retired.
Some like obsolescence factor. Okay.
Yeah, it's a discontinued service retirement. All right.
There
so
it is.
I knew that existed, and I said, now wait a minute. And I called up NSA HR, Human Resources, and I said, all right, what about discontinued service retirement? It's in chapter 42, page blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And it says if you're 50 years old, which I was 54, and you have worked over 20 years, and I'd worked 28, and you're not being fired for bad performance.
Right.
How do you get bad performance with awards?
Right.
That you are entitled to discontinued service retirement immediately. And so the HR person I spoke to is a woman, and she said, oh, there's no such thing. And I
there's
said, yes,
no
there
such
is.
Thing. She
there's
didn't
no
even know
thing.
Her own rules.
Well, did she or was she lying? So I asked for her supervisor to call me, and a day or two later he called, and I told him the same thing. I said, where in the packet is the paperwork to fill out for discontinued service retirement? And you only had so many days to fill it out or you were stuck.
I see.
You know, with either the deferred retirement or no retirement if you didn't fill it out in time. So I asked for the proper paperwork, and he lied to me and said it doesn't exist. And I pointed it out to him in the manual, this retirement manual, and he started to stutter. And so he said, well, I'll get back to you. And so later on in the week, we ended up talking again, and he said, well, I spoke to the consul general, who at that point I believe was Vito Potenza. And he says that you're not eligible for it unless he says you're eligible for it. And he says you're not.
You get the guy's name was actually Vito?
Uh-huh. Potenza.
That's out, like out of a Hollywood script.
Uh-huh.
All right. So Vito says, sorry, he vetoed you, and you got no retirement.
Right. He's basically saying, I'm the Counsel General of NSA, and I can basically totally disregard
the law. I'm God.
Yes. So at that point, I went to the Office of Personnel Management, which is the agency that handles every single retirement in every bit of the federal government. I was lucky to get a honest and decent middle manager who had the courage to take on NSA. I told him my story in less than 3 hours. And he said, look, you're not working there. You don't have access to NSA, so I'm not going to ask you to go get paperwork. He said, I'm just going to contact them and demand the paperwork. And he got back to me, said, well, it was a hell of a fight, but I got it. And I told him, this is my purview. Back off. So he got the GS-12 slightly reduced retirement for me, and that started probably March of 2011.
Well, congratulations to that point. Good. We got something good happened. And think of all the money they spent in the meantime trying to hassle you and employing all these people. They should have just retired you. Oh, I don't get it. Nuts. Crazy.
Well, and they were trying to destroy my retirement to boot.
Yes, yes, I got it.
And I said, if you really think somebody is mentally ill and they shouldn't have a clearance and they shouldn't be working for NSA, why would you lie and try to cheat them out of their retirement?
Oh. This is a major motion picture, you know.
Well, so far nobody's asked me for the rights to it, but I guess we'll have to see how it ends. I was elated, and I thought, okay, that's one victory. That's amazing, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The next month, NSA, CIA, and maybe another one or two of the alphabet soup agencies cobbled together legislation that they tried to get passed in the Senate and the Congress saying that these agencies should be able to take over their own retirements and at whim forbid people from getting them or take them away at any point in their retirement.
Oh, so anywhere down the line, you could be SOL and you're out of money, you're done, you're finished. They took it all. They could just shut you off.
Exactly.
This is un-American as it gets.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were pissed.
Yeah.
That I actually got my retirement. I mean,
I hate to say
that because it's not narcissistic, but I looked at that legislation just barely a month later, and I said, I'll be darned if this isn't about my winning and getting my retirement.
Sure.
I don't know what it is. It's too coincidental. And so, the wording basically said, at any point in time, we can accuse whatever person, retired or not retired, of anything we want. We don't have to tell them what it is we're accusing them of. We don't have to tell them what witness, what evidence we have. We can just, at whim, strip them of their retirement and not be accountable to anyone. And that was the legislation. So I spent a week faxing every single senator and every single congressman whose fax I could find, you know, the fact that this was obviously against whistleblowers and was un-American and illegal.
Yep.
And I don't know if that had any effect whatsoever, but thank God the legislation did not pass.
Wow. Well, speaking of whistleblowers and revenge, Obama has certainly made a minor career out of that, as we know.
Oh, yeah.
Horror stories about whistleblowers, and all you were doing was trying to stand up for what was right. And of course, I guess that's what a lot of whistleblowers do. Some try to bring classified material out, and that could be a different colored issue. But
that's entirely different, indeed.
Yeah, what you did. I also just sit here thinking and wondering how many employees in the NSA are working for other countries, other governments, corporations, maybe rich, wealthy, eccentric individuals. Who knows? I think the agency must be just fraught with spies.
Well, you know, I will tell you that there are certain languages that they have a hard time finding people proficient in. So they allow certain people to come in to work the language, and you don't know if that person is skewing what you have spent time to collect.
Right.
Or whether they're giving the information to someone who is not American at all. So that is an acute appeal that is very serious.
It is said that the Chinese are masters at this kind of thing. Chinese language fluency is not common over here. That's one. The director of the Fort Meade Bioweapons Lab, this is under Nixon, quit. He said, because I'd go into my most secure, secret areas of Fort Detrick, not Fort Meade, Fort Detrick. And he said, on any given day, there would be more Chinese and Soviet scientists there than there would be Americans in there. It was some kind of an exchange program of science exchange back then. And he said it was ridiculous. So I don't have anything to do with this. He quit. So spying, espionage,
Well, if you think back on Russell Tice's story, he was the one who got canned in 2005 in a similar way. He was supposedly suddenly paranoid and delusional because he reported that any of the reports that went through a certain woman who was of Chinese descent would make the source dry up. Well, as soon as he reported that, apparently her mother, who was higher up at NSA and who had actually relatives in the Chinese Communist Chinese government.
Her mother was also in the NSA.
Yes.
It's funnier
and
funnier.
They had relatives still in the Communist Chinese government. And apparently she did not like him bringing that to security's attention and had him fired.
That's what happened to him. Well, it is said that the Chinese have a field day over here in all manners of espionage that you can imagine. It's no problem for them.
Well, we're certainly not putting up a fight.
Doesn't seem like it.
If we're eating our own, basically we're turning on our own and accommodating everyone else.
I was just thinking about that. As I said, the money spent, the energy spent to try to defeat you and there's supposedly real enemies on this planet that they should be worried about. That's what the NSA supposedly does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. This is incredible. Oh, go ahead.
I'm not the only one.
No, that's we'll get to that in a minute. That's interesting. That's the other side of the coin that is the same side of the coin in a way. Back in just a minute with Karen. Stay there. Stuart. All right, my friend, go ahead. This is amazing. So you at least 7 years ago had your G-12 retirement.
Right. I acquired the GS-12 requirement retirement that they were trying to basically cheat me out of. And by the way, they were also trying to cheat me out of lifelong health care that you get as a federal worker.
Uh-huh.
So in the same fell swoop, they're trying to cheat me out of both.
How petty. But, how terrifically, terribly petty. Children.
Yeah.
Mean little children in a sandbox.
Oh, beyond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know. But this basically, at this point, I've gotten my retirement, or at least a retirement, not the GS-14 I should have. And they have failed to take, to get legislation through where they could strip me of it. So we are now entering a hiatus of no stalking, no harassment whatsoever, as my EEOC lawsuit sits at the EEOC waiting for a hearing. So about 5 years pass, and in those 5 years, I basically go down to Florida, because I'm living in Maryland. I go down to Florida for about 6 months and visit with my elderly parents, trying to help them out, trying to make sure they can stay in their home, because at that point they're in their 80s.
Right.
And then I would return to Maryland and stay the rest of the 6 months. And so I did that for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went down in late 2014, and by February 2015, I had found out the identity, pretty sure that I had found out the identity of the NSA executive who was high up in the electronics and computer ranks, who had actually broken into my home in August of 2006 after I went to the IG and bugged the house. I had found out who he was. Now, at the time, I'm trying to find out by looking in NSA's interior, I've forgotten the name of it, but it's pretty much the NSA internet inside, and going to the job that I thought that he would have, and all of these people who were high up in technology, computers, electronics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
right,
all were flag badgers, and so they had their pictures displayed with the American flag in back of them. Well, one of them had replaced this prestigious picture with the picture of a meerkat, which is basically an African weasel. And that was incredibly unprofessional, and I thought, somebody doesn't want his name tied to a picture of him. Hmm. So I always remembered the name.
Mm-hmm.
And so years later, I was drilling down into Facebook, friends of friends who worked at NSA, and I found him.
Wow.
And I said, all right. And I said, because he got sloppy, I guess, after so many years.
You had never known him while you were at the NSA, right?
I saw him, but I didn't know him, no.
Uh-huh. And who put the picture of the meerkat on his ID?
He did.
Oh.
So he put that in the NSA internet, which is called Searchlight. I lost that word for a moment. So in his own prestigious site or version of the site, he had put a goofy picture up. So I said, well, that's suspicious to begin with.
Yes.
And so years later, I found who I thought was him, and I told my lawyer, I said, I want you to subpoena this name and find out if we can't get the driver's license picture that shows a very strong likeness to the caricature I drew of him.
Oh.
And when she sent in the subpoena to the Maryland Department of Motor Vehicles, they not only ignored her, but, and I don't know that you can do that with a subpoena, but they ignored her, and I started finding myself being stalked in Tallahassee, Florida, which is 900 miles away from Fort Meade, Maryland.
Oh, this started up again.
Five years later, and at first I thought, okay, you're having a flashback, you're just, you're imagining this. But then I started getting photo stalked. There are two separate teams that were following me and taking photographs of me. And oddly, both of these teams drove cars that had Panama City dealership logos. And I know from being a Floridian that if you are stationed in Pensacola and the Naval Security Group is there, then you would buy any type of nice car in Panama City, because there's really nothing, there's no place to buy a nice car in Pensacola.
Got it.
So I said, okay, now the Naval Security Group now is co-located with NSA at Fort Meade, Maryland. So it was feasible that NSA security called down to Pensacola and said, we need you to photo stalk this terrible person. And then I was told quite accidentally by a Leon County Sheriff's deputy that he was kind of bragging. He said that NSA and some other feds had come to Tallahassee, and they had escorted them through Tallahassee into the northern part of the city, or just beyond, and that was about 5 miles from where my parents lived and I was staying. And he said, they came here for a secret exercise. I said, really, in Tallahassee, a secret exercise? And he said, yes. And so, I said, well, that coincides with when I actually started being stalked. And within probably a week or two of when he said they escorted them, I started getting stalked by proxy civilian stalkers yet again. And they were following all the same things that I had noticed, the same patterns I had noticed in Maryland, except on a much larger scale.
The InfraGuard.
And yes. And so I had followed some cars that NSA loves for people to drive in cells, in their little groups. I'm not sure what they call themselves, but I call them cells, as in terrorist cells. So if you are in a cell with seven other people, then you drive to the meeting house in a group of seven. You get your indoctrination for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then you leave in your cell because they think it establishes an esprit de corps.
So I
sat and watched one of these relay meetings for 2 hours. And lo and behold, two Florida Department of Law Enforcement squad cars attended. And I said, okay, FDLE. So who's a civilian group associated with FDLE? And I found InfraGuard right away. So they had gone to the civilians and told them that I was some terrible person and needed to be stalked and harassed 24/7. And so that went on from April. And by the time we got into November, they decided I was not sufficiently being intimidated. Now, what did they want me to do? Did they want me to drop?
November of what year, Karen? Excuse me.
Are we 2015. So
we're talking last year, a year ago.
Yes. So in April of 2015, they started the stalking all over again by duping people in Tallahassee. And then by November of 2015, I'd put up with that for several months. They had rear-ended me. They'd sideswiped me. They had basically vandalized my car. And I was trying as much as possible to ignore them, except when they did physical damage. Then I did report them to the police, which, of course, they did nothing.
Right.
So by November, apparently they were getting miffed that I wasn't getting intimidated enough. And I had had a Twitter exchange on, I had had a Twitter exchange just after 9/11, and I basically said, you know, this is what happened on 9/11. I basically came back into the building and was going to my office 2 days after 9/11 when there was a man standing there crying. And I thought, poor man, he's lost someone. And as I started to pass him by, he started saying things like, nobody had to die, which stopped me in my tracks. And I stood there and listened, and he said, nobody had to die. We had all the information that we needed to stop this horrific catastrophe. And he said, NSA management would not let us report it. And he went on for 3-4 minutes, and then there were about three to four women around him trying to comfort him, and they finally got him back into his office. And I just was stunned. And I waited and waited for something to come out as to why NSA would have forbidden people to warn. And it never came out. In fact, what I heard on the television was NSA basically saying, it's all your fault, Congress, because you didn't let us trample the Constitution and you didn't give us enough money.
Right.
So I had an exchange with apparently Bill Black Jr., who had been Deputy Dernza, Deputy Director of NSA, during 9/11. And it thoroughly missed him that I said the truth. And within a few days, that was the end of November. Within a few days, a horrific electronic wave of some kind went through my parents' house. And it was after midnight, and it kept continuing until dawn. It destroyed the microwave clock. It destroyed the oven digital clock. It put the refrigerator and the brand new dishwasher on the fritz. They electronically didn't recover for a while, and we had all kinds of electronic trouble. I'd never in my life ever imagined anything like that was possible, and so we had an electrician come out and check out everything about the house. We had Comcast come out and check out everything about the cable and any nearby equipment, and nobody could find any kind of problem. Well, the next night it happened again. And for the next 2 or 3 months, it happened every single night from midnight until about 6 a.m., and then it stopped. And then, by the time it was, you know, April or so, then it started happening 24/7. It was not stopping. But what would happen is that it would be low in the morning and build throughout the day. Well, what I was noticing and what had been noticing since the stalking began was that someone was coming into the neighborhood and going into wooded areas and dropping someone off at dusk. And then in the morning, when dawn came, somebody would come out of the woods with some type of device, jump in a car, and they'd leave.
Carrying a device.
Carrying some kind of device in some kind of box. They had stayed the entire night in the woods during exactly the same time that we were getting electronic emanations. And
now, you saw this person come out of the woods?
Yes. And they'd jump in a car, and it would speed away. Well, the interesting thing was they were doing the night signals as well. And I was, one of the first times I saw this, I went outside, and I was hearing a bizarre bird call that I knew wasn't real.
Another one.
So, another one. But this was being done at 1 minute intervals, and it had been done about six times when a car sped over to the woods, stopped. Somebody came out of the woods carrying some kind of box, jumped in the car, and it sped away. Well, after they left, there was no more bird calls. So that became a pattern. I said, I'll be darned, they're dropping people in the woods.
Did you have any physical symptoms, headaches, anything, emotional problems, any kind of stress strain added to what you're already going through?
Well, these things, apparently, the more you're exposed, the more cell damage there is. It's like being poisoned. So the longer it went on, the more we started getting the effects. My mother and I both were waking up with burned faces. We'd wake
That's
up
like
and our
a,
faces
this is a microwave, potentially, a microwave weapon then.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been. So I started trying to take precautions and trying to shield us, and I ended up leaving the area of the house where their bedroom was, because the bedrooms were close together, and I moved to an entirely different area of the house so that if it perhaps was being aimed more at me than them, that it would maybe hit me more and them less.
Right.
Which actually turned out to be the case. And I have learned that they basically use things that can see through walls.
Oh, they can see, they can see you, they can see exactly where you are, in the house.
Right, right. So at least I got them some relief. But as I said, this started to be 24/7. And
this is an effort to physically harm you, clearly.
Well, you cannot be in an electromagnetic wave or microwave or even ultrasonics, which is also something they use, among other things. I just don't know everything they use. You cannot be in them any length of time and not suffer cell damage or DNA damage. So these things are basically used against you in order to slow kill you. They're hoping for cancer, brain tumor, heart attack, induced stroke, et cetera, et cetera. So eventually they apparently worked their way into the neighbors and got neighbors around us to harbor these devices. So it went from people who were strangers living at neighbors' houses who I'd never seen before to the actual neighbors using the devices. They would come outside their homes and turn something on in their yards, or one of them even in his car. He would rev up the engine to power the device in his car, and then it would make my parents, my dogs, and myself horrifically miserable because it burns your skin, it burns your eyes, it will burn your esophagus and your heart and your lungs. And it will give you the worst headache you've ever had. And believe me, I've had migraines. I know bad headaches, and these are worse. Because what it's doing is it's either dehydrating your brain, if it's microwave, or it is making it swell.
Got it. Now, when did these start? When did the electronic fluorescence start?
End of November 2015.
So it's still a year ago. Did I'm sure you've had people tell you what you might try to do to make the house safer. Faraday cage the place, just put copper mesh screening all over the outside of the house or the inside, whatever, on the windows. And the copper screening can help deflect that.
Well, believe me, I spent more money than I had mm-hmm. trying to get proper shielding, which helped to some degree. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that when they turned on the ultrasonics, little to nothing protects you from that. And if you get a sound that is so very high as to be 13, 14, 15, 16, 17,000 hertz, that is no longer a wave. That is a band, and it will burn you
It's like a beam weapon.
Yes.
This is way beyond smart meter dangers. They're dangerous enough, but this is intent to kill. That's, I don't know how else to phrase it.
It is, and there were times that they sent things through the house that I can't even describe to you. One of them would make you hot and cold shiver at the same time, and I was at that point sleeping under a Mylar sleeping bag, and one night my hand actually got out of the sleeping bag, and when I woke up, I couldn't feel the back of my hand for, it turned out to be about 6 to 8 weeks, because it had been so burned inside.
Wow.
So when I would get up and get out of the house in the morning, and they obviously had cameras everywhere so they could see when I came and left,
mm-hmm.
When I would get out after an especially horrific attack, people in the neighborhood would beep as if saying, "Damn, she's alive."
Hey, this, you know, if that's true, if that's what was going through their minds when they were beeping and so forth, this is really another measurement of inhumanity that we're not supposed to have at this stage in our evolution. This is sick. They don't know you.
It is.
They don't. All they do is take someone's word, and they allegedly are participating in the attempt to murder you.
Right, right. Well, they were getting new roofs. They were getting
You were seeing these things go on. I get the picture.
Yes, yes. New lawnmowers, new mm-hmm. riding lawnmowers, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. So when I would suspect this or that house was involved, it would just be a matter of time before they started getting gifts.
Was the NSA trying to make an example out of you? Was this, do you think your fate and what was going on was openly discussed at some levels in the NSA? I mean, not just the people who are doing it, but maybe, were they trying to scare people in the NSA? Is there that to consider too?
Well, I think in government right now, and especially with NSA, they want the thin veneer of being law-abiding to exist, but they want people to know you better not
step out of line.
You have any right. You better not think that you have any rights, because we will crush you.
Yeah. Well, that's. I'm sure that word has gotten out to one degree or another. You're not the only one, as you said. We got just 2 minutes left on this visit. Let's talk about others. Who have you met, others that have been subjected to this kind of treatment?
I have met so many people, it just makes me want to cry. And whistleblowers who are decent, honest people, federal, one woman had her life destroyed because she merely spoke to a person in the hall that was designated a whistleblower, and she was destroyed. She is now homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, unfortunately, there are random people who are being done this way just for experimentation, and that's believe me, that's a whole other show, if not more. There's one gentleman I met whose father was a South Vietnamese general who worked for the Americans in Vietnam and was very loyal to them, and now he's getting this treatment. And I met, I think it was the daughter of Admiral Wendt, who was a pretty famous admiral, and she's getting this treatment. And the vast majority of the people I've met who are being so horrifically murdered because this is torture and murder. And I would tell you that I'm probably guaranteed cancer at this point. But I have met people who have almost impeccable pedigrees, and they've done nothing wrong. There's no hint of treason or criminality in their lives. They're outstanding people. And I will tell you that they're some of the most wonderful people I have ever met, and they are being horrifically abused. And the list is just, it's amazing. You meet these people and you want to cry because there's no excuse for this.
Right. There's something really wrong with this country and this government. There's no question about it. But above and beyond that, there's something really wrong with this species. It's got a dark, evil side that seems to know no bounds. And the willingness by which these people participate in these attacks and attempted assassinations of people, directly or indirectly, is appalling. That's not good. All right. Hold our place, and we'll come back soon and continue with the story, Karen. It's really unforgettable. It's amazing. I'm glad you're all right, at least for the time being. We'll find out what they're doing now, and hopefully you won't get cancer. But there are things you can do if you do that may help. I don't know. We'll talk more about this next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, good night. Karen Stewart, and quite a story. We will continue it with her and our next opportunity. Have a good night. Lots to think about. Talk to you tomorrow.